This is Sports Saturday with Joshua Briscoe.
Beards, I need you to tell me about what happened with LiAngelo Ball, which I literally did not know was a person.
He's the middle ball.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back into Sports Saturday here on Sports Radio 810. I'm Joshua Briscoe. Beards McFly on the other side of the glass. Got some time to talk about Chiefs Raiders. Obviously, again, the news of the day. We're in straight up like this is breaking news. Mention it at the top of the hour stuff here. But, you know, if you're listening to the podcast after the fact, first of all, God bless you. You are my favorite. Podcast listeners listening to the same thing over and over again, same voice for like weeks on end. Love you. But you may hear a rerun here as we give you the news that Taco Charlton's been placed on IR, not surprising, but so has Mitchell Schwartz. He's been placed on injured reserve. He's been out the last 4 weeks, and he will miss at least the next three. Obviously, not an encouraging sign because they were kind of doing the week-to-week thing for him for a while, and then now they say it'll be at least 3 weeks. We'll get that active roster spot to somebody else so we figure out what exactly is going on there with Mitch Schwartz. We did talk about that a lot already in the first hour of today's show, which will very soon be up on the Almost Entirely Sports podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts, or up there and in the additional programming section of the 810 mobile app and at 810WHB.com. But we'll put it up on the AES podcast feed. You can access that at AES.show. Also, though, Sammy Watkins has been ruled out for tomorrow night's game. This is not, as far as I know, and as far as anyone knows at this point publicly, this is not about the hamstring injury that he suffered against the Raiders back in Week 5 that kept him out for the last several weeks. This is a calf injury that popped up midweek this week, which is, I think, even worse probably than even just re-aggravating the hamstring, because it's a new thing, and new things popping up midweek like that just make me nervous. We don't have all the details. We don't really know exactly what happened that led to that. He was questionable yesterday. So whenever Andy Reid spoke yesterday and then after the fact with him being limited in practice, they ruled him as questionable for the game tomorrow night. But he's been downgraded to out. And that, like, Saturday downgrading, I would have been less worried about it if he would have just been ruled out tomorrow. No reason to rush him back. I mean, this is kind of a weird thing to say, but the Chiefs really do need to beat the Raiders. More on that in a second. But it would be better for him to miss another week or two and to try to come back fully healthy. That is, of course, what we said ahead of the Panthers game and hope that he'd be back now, but always just kind of a battle there for Sammy Watkins. Alex Okafor and Legarius Sneed have both been activated from IR, though. That's great news. Imagine they will not be 95% of the snaps players tomorrow night, but just very good to have them back in the fold and working their way back. Especially Sneed was playing really, really well before he got hurt early in the season. Broken collarbone for him. Okafor has dealt with hamstring issues with both of his hamstrings, but he's been activated. And Mecole Hardman's been activated from the reserve COVID list. Garrick Dieter and Brian Witzman have both been activated from the practice squad, as the Chiefs will add another receiver and another offensive lineman to tomorrow night's roster. So there's a bunch of the news on the Chiefs side. Something else that happened a little bit ago that we just ran out of time for in the first hour. The Raiders have a ton of COVID injury news. They had nearly their entire starting defense. That is not hyperbolic. They had nearly their entire starting defense on the reserve COVID list as of today. LaMarcus Joyner, I believe, is the first one off. I think he came off that list early yesterday. Don't know exactly all the moving parts there, but the vast majority of them, at least, were just close contacts to someone else. And so, like, Chris Jones is on the COVID list for one day because he had theoretically had a close contact with someone 4 days before they found out about it, I guess. High risk close contact, and then only needed one more day to clear that window, and then he ended up not missing a game. So the way that that moves is obviously very case by case and sort of an amoeba in that way. But today, Jonathan Abram, Malik Collins, Jonathan Hankins, Kendall Vickers, Arden Key, and Isaiah Johnson, those were all close contacts to Cleland Farrell, who tested positive for COVID earlier in the week. All of those guys, except for Farrell, they're all being activated here today, back to the 53-man active roster. David Irving, defensive end there, he's coming off the practice squad COVID list, and then we'll go back. He's moved around a bunch as well, but he's coming back. That's all from Paul Gutierrez of ESPN, who wrote about this up on ESPN. LaMarcus Joyner was activated from the list on Friday. So just a lot of close contact issues there around Cleland Farrell, who was positive for COVID earlier in the week. And then the six other players there tested negative throughout the course of the week. They're being activated now. So all those moving parts, I think, could mean a couple of things for this game tomorrow night. One is that the Raiders are better off having those guys back out there, obviously. They did also miss a week of on-field game prep. I'm sure they were all digitally in the meetings and everything, but that is going to be a little bit of a challenge. Like I told you, I kind of expect Mecole Hardman to maybe have a little bit of a smaller role than he has in the last couple of weeks, which hasn't been a huge role even then. He's had some bigger games and some smaller ones since Watkins got hurt. One really big one with 8 or 9 catches, I think, and then he was very quiet earlier in that range. So anyway, I don't know what's fair to expect from all those guys who haven't been, you know, on the field for installs and everything. But the other thing is that, you know, the Chiefs have had positives. Jordan Tamu tested positive. They played the Patriots and Stephon Gilmore, who was positive, and all of that. They had Rick Burkholder tested positive, reportedly. Chiefs haven't confirmed that, but he's tweeted about, like, not being in the building and everything, so I'm pretty confident in saying that. But it's a medical thing, so it's, you know, all a little touchy. But Rick Burkholder, their head trainer and their head COVID official, reportedly, tests positive. And that didn't spread throughout the entire building. Hardman has a close contact. Chris Jones has a close contact. Hardman may have tested positive, but at this point, again, I would guess he probably didn't, but I don't know for sure. Martinez Rankin is still on the COVID list. It, again, theorizing on people's viruses is not a great place to be, but it's very 2020. Maybe he either did test positive or had a more serious close contact, and then Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz were both close contacts to Rankin, perhaps, obviously all being offensive tackles. But Fisher and Schwartz both came off that list. Schwartz now to IR for the back issue. But he was activated off the COVID list, as was Fisher. So they were both cleared from that. You don't see, you know, Mike Remmers or any other offensive lineman going to the list. What is the point of me saying all of those things? Look at the difference between the Raiders having a positive test in their defense and what happened there with most of their starting defense missing a week of practice versus what we've seen from the Chiefs. Plus, keep in mind that the Raiders have been fined for a number of mask violations and whatnot. John Gruden's been fined for a mask violation. The Chiefs are even better at handling this. This is something that the Raiders have made mistakes on, like significant mistakes. And it's cost them practice time. It's cost them on the field. And the Chiefs have been better at sort of clinging on to those protocols and sticking to those and being apparently vigilant about them in a way that having their head COVID official and VP of sports medicine and performance, their head trainer and all of those things, Enric Burkholder, he tested positive and didn't transmit it to anyone else. That's a pretty good success story in terms of how they've managed it. I mean, Burkholder was saying this back in pre-training, right around the beginning of training camp. There's no preventing that someone in your 53-man roster and bigger staff and all that. There was a strength coach, I think it was, that tested positive a while back. Guys are going to end up testing positive, but the protocols and all the masks and everything are to keep it from spreading whenever someone does. And that's worked from the Chiefs' perspective. They've done that part of it well. Also, now the entire NFL is apparently having teams just operate permanently as if they are in intensive protocols, which means virtual meetings and masks on the practice fields and all of that. I haven't seen a ton of that like work its way to the surface yet since that was put into place. I'm not sure the timeline on all that is or if they're going full-blown intensive protocols for everybody else. But almost every team in the league at this point has spent time in intensive protocols, and obviously they're expecting things to get even more challenging as the winter comes along, and obviously, like, pretty much every state right now is also in rough shape in terms of COVID issues. Seems like, yes, we do have another piece of Chiefs news. Busy Saturday. Interesting. Okay. Here is this. Therese Paylor of Yahoo has the Chiefs bringing in another offensive lineman, guard Stefan Wisniewski. They're assigning him to the practice squad. Therese says he'll start out there and likely be promoted to the active roster for the stretch run. Interesting. You'll remember, I imagine, that Wisniewski was not only a member of, but a starter on the Chiefs' Super Bowl team and their roster at the end of the year. He stepped in midseason as a guard replacement as Andrew Wiley was struggling a little bit. And it was him and LDT at the guard spots. That ended up being one of the only positions the Chiefs lost a starter from their, you know, Super Bowl victory to the beginning of the season. So that's pretty interesting. He had been, I can't remember the exact terms of I think it might have been an injury designation of some sort. I'll try to get the specifics of this right. But he went back to the Steelers after winning the Super Bowl with the Chiefs and signed a 2-year deal there. I think the thing that I remember from that signing was that the Chiefs were interested in a 1-year deal, and he was looking for a little bit more than that. And he got a 2-year deal, and he ended up here. Let me try to find the actual news of this, because he ended up on IR with the Steelers, I believe. I think he got released with an injury designation. This is from the Post-Gazette. Thank you, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I do not need notifications from your website, though. Thank you for asking. The 31-year-old had been activated to the 53-man roster Wednesday. Wisniewski suffered a pectoral injury in the season opener against the Chiefs and against the Giants and missed the past 6 games. He'd been practicing with the team for the past 3 weeks, during which time the Steelers had to decide whether he was going to be added back to the roster or remain on injured reserve for the remainder of the season. Wisniewski had started more than 100 games in his career, signed with the hometown team this past offseason. I don't really care who filled in for him. I guess they just straight up waived him after he returned from injury. So it wasn't a release with an injury designation. They just cut him. They just cut him after coming back from the injury. And ended up using that roster spot for something else. That's kind of interesting. I knew there had been some people who had mentioned that maybe the Chiefs should bring him back. The one thing that, so that makes a lot of sense. And again, also this year, I forget that not everyone knows everything about like NFL roster construction right now.
I certainly know.
Thank you, Beards. I think that's the first words you said on air in today's show, and that feels good. That feels right. The practice squad this year is both expanded and can include veteran players, which was not the case in years past. There's a cap on how many years you can have as a vested veteran in the league before you're no longer able to be put on the practice squad. But this year, with COVID and trying to expand the rosters and whatnot, the practice squads got expanded, and you can have a certain number of veterans on your practice squad. Whenever they brought in Brian Witzman, though, who is, again, going to be active for the game tomorrow night, that sort of seemed to me like a likely end to the Witzman, or excuse me, the Wisniewski talk, because you're looking at the interior, and they brought in kind of a guy from a previous era to step in there with Wisniewski available. I sort of figured that they would have gone back to Stefan Wisniewski as opposed to bringing in Witzman. If you do connect this back to the Mitch Schwartz IR move, I think you can in some ways and can't in another. But if you do connect the two, maybe Wisniewski was hoping to find a little bit more of an opening from a team where he could step in and actually get some playing time, perhaps. And the Witzman deal was much more a depth and practice squad sort of signing. So that might make some sense. Maybe the Chiefs are kind of going, oh, this Mitch Schwartz thing is a little more serious than we wanted it to be. So now we can go talk to Wisniewski again. But the thing that's a little confusing now is just that they have so many guards and so many interior linemen at this point. And obviously, Mitch Schwartz is a tackle. This does allow for a little more flexibility there. Like it's not a one-to-one conversation. But if Eric Fisher gets hurt, they're bleeped, like majorly. With Schwartz being out a minimum of the next 3 weeks, Mike Rimmers is definitely playing right tackle. Not even a question there. And then, you know, he can also play guard. I think he actually played guard first this year for the Chiefs. But obviously, like, he is a swing tackle is the most sort of valuable spot for him. On the interior, though, they're already at Nick Allegretti and Andrew Wiley. Daniel Kilgore was starting at center after Ryder got a little banged up. Ryder started at center again last week, so Kilgore's in there. He could play either guard spot. And then you have Yasir Durant, who stepped in at tackle for a few plays, and he's just, that dude's a rookie. They need some time. He needs some time right now. But then you have Brian Witzman, who we talked about. Adding Wisniewski is fine by me, but it's a little odd that it's just happening, I guess. I don't know. That's kind of interesting. I would have expected them to either make that move sooner or just say, like, no, we're good on the interior. Because if they would have called him towards the beginning of, I guess, like, earlier, you know, last week or whatever, whenever that move actually happened on the 7th, 2 weeks ago, I don't know if anything happened in the last 2 weeks, essentially, to make this move make more sense. Even with Schwartz being out, not all offensive line positions are created equal in that way. So anyway, bringing back Stefan Wisniewski makes total sense for the interior again, because he was starting on the offensive line in the Super Bowl last year. If they went straight back to, if in a couple of weeks, whenever he's acclimated and theoretically healthy, if he took Andrew Wiley's spot at right guard, that would not bother me at all. I just would have, if they were looking at maybe bringing back Wisniewski and having him take Wiley's spot, I would have probably just done that 2 weeks ago. So those are the only, that's the only real questions I would have there. Other than that, the move makes absolute total sense. They're just still also the biggest issue at this point. This team obviously misses Osemele. I mean, he looked really good before he ended up tearing tendons in both of his knees. Um,
and maybe they'll just, maybe the hope is that Witzman can just look, can just play tackle basically, where you don't have to worry about where exactly you could drop him around, and you just say, all right, Witzman and Durant are our emergency tackles, and now we know that they're on the edges, and if anything happens in the middle, it will rotate between Allegretti, Kilgore, Wiley, and now Wisniewski, and then Rimmers and Witzman are just both on the edges now. That makes sense to me. I could see that being the logic, and you know, the Chiefs have so much, they value versatility across their offensive line so much that math doesn't all make total sense just because they like the ability to move guys around. But if that's sort of the first spot, maybe we see Witzman end up getting a full active roster spot next week after being active tomorrow night. Maybe he gets a fully fledged spot there, and then they call up Wisniewski in a couple of weeks from that practice squad, where you can protect guys on the practice squad now too. It's all kind of funky. I imagine they will do that for DeAndre Baker, by the way, who we haven't really talked about because that happened. It feels like that happened a month ago. It happened earlier this week. But I did also gloss over Martinez Rankin, who is both coming back from injury and on the COVID list right now. That's the other guy on the edge that maybe going in the next week, it'll either be, and this might have been the strategy actually for the Raiders, maybe it's going to be Rankin or Witzman. Rankin if he's healthy, Witzman if he's not. There have just been, it feels like, first of all, I think I've said a lot of names in the last hour or whatever, however long we've been doing today's show. There have just been so, because I guess it's probably because of the COVID list, but there have just been so many little roster moves of just like this guy moves here, that guy moves here. So many injuries across the Chiefs offensive and defensive lines for that matter. I have so many Pro Football Reference and depth chart and schedule pages open trying to remember exactly when Mitch Schwartz got hurt and what did Sammy Watkins do in 2017. And it's a busy time midday Saturday during a Raider week. We still haven't talked about all the buses. You're probably sick of that at this point, honestly. I imagine most people are kind of bus burnt out, which is fair. It's still funny though. We will we'll take a break. I've told Beards many, many times, like, we will talk about NBA Madness. You are here, I'm here. I didn't book any guests for today's show, but we just crank it up for a couple hours in the middle of a Saturday, talk about some NBA things. And I think the only things Beards has said now on today's show is, I certainly don't.
That would be correct.
And then also that.
This is Sports Saturday.
What Steph Curry is doing is entirely different. We've seen LeBron and a lot of other players try to do what he's doing. He's doing it better than anybody else ever has. But so Steph Curry's novelty in his MVP-ness.
With Joshua Briscoe.
That was a terrible phrase. That's real bad. Dang it.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
That liner's like 5 or 6 years old, and it only ever shows up whenever Beards is running a Sports Saturday or Sports Sunday that I'm hosting, which happens so infrequently that I forget about it.
It has a sequel to it as well. Don't forget that.
Yeah, it sure does. The sequel was somewhat... I thought the music was freaking out there. It was actually just how loud your fan is in there. I don't remember what the sequel is, but I feel like the sequel is at least somewhat self-aware. That one... Because if you're
that
like
was in the moment.
That if you're like a regular listener of what like almost entirely sports is now, or even what our, you know, weekend shows are now, you would think like, oh, Josh would totally say MVP-ness is a joke. That's, you know, that he probably had that planned out like 3 days in advance. And you would be right that I would do that now. But that was me running someone else's. That fan is so loud. People can definitely hear when that mic comes on or off, because it's a
Like, if you just toggle it.
I have it on low.
I mean, like a low-grade missile flying through. You have it on a low-grade wind tunnel testing a Fiat, and it's aerodynamicism.
It's an F1.
That's right. That's funnier. That's better. Yeah, what's the lowest setting on a hurricane?
I was going local with tornado.
That's actually better, also. I don't think I knew that that's how... Yeah, I guess because I know an F5 is like... We're going to Oz, baby. But I never really think about an F1 tornado. I don't really think about that being a unit of measurement until that number is higher.
Out here in the Midwest, that's just what we call, like, evening entertainment.
Yeah, Tuesday. That's just Tuesday. Yeah, an F1 tornado. I don't give one F about an F1 tornado.
Hey, go get the folding chair. We're going outside and we're going to watch this, baby.
Have you seen a tornado in person?
No.
This might be the most Midwestern thing that we can, like, all sort of, I think, relate to here. God, that is so loud.
Yep.
It's so distracting. I want your mic to be on so you can react back and forth.
Uh-huh.
But it's just there's a white noise machine playing underneath this white noise.
Yep.
That we are making. I remember, like, being a kid, and this was probably whenever my family lived in Wichita still, so I could have been no older than like 10, but certainly in the like very early like tween years or whatever, we had a like kind of a double decker deck on the back of our house. We'd go out there, and I remember at various points, like, the sky is green. And my mom is like, I'm looking outside. Both of my parents eventually like, I'm looking outside. And at various different points, I would fluctuate between either being like, well, I'm going to go to the basement and be down there now. Because tornadoes are terrifying in concept. I mean, the idea, like, oh, yeah, what happened? Oh, it got very windy in a circle and it took the roof off my house. That's horrifying, especially as a child. I think most things are scarier whenever you don't understand either like what's happening or like how rare it is or isn't, or how powerful it is or isn't. But you just, you know, you watch Wizard of Oz once when you're like 7 because you live in the state of Kansas and that's mandatory. But now I am fully like, for I think two reasons, I am fully like outside when there's a tornado. There was one day here where you, me, and Rudy were all here and tornado sirens were going off. And we went on both balconies to try to see if we could see anything.
Oh, yes, I do remember this now that you've said that.
Yeah. That might have been... Melo's going back to the Blazers, by the way. One-year deal. Breaking news. Beers, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's good for them. It's fine.
So, I am fully in that mode now, I think, for two reasons. One is that, like, it would be kind of cool to just see... a tornado in person. But also, like, how long would it really take me to, like, get to the basement? And what am I going to do if a tornado hits me or the house or whatever, or the radio station? I'm not going to hold the station up with my hands. I'm not going to Samson any of this. I'm not going to bring it down or keep it up by myself. So what I think is... The real question is if the tornado was on a direct path directly at the balcony or deck or whatever that you're standing on, how close would you let it get before you did go basement it up? That I want to know that about myself. I'm not even asking that because I don't know if anyone can have that answer unless they've been in that spot. But I would like to just sort of be able to test that for myself of like, all right, if the tornado is literally, if I could reach out, you know, and touch it. I don't know how, but that would, it would just be things hitting my hand very hard, I imagine.
I don't think you'd want to do that.
No, I don't think I would. But if I am within, you know, Dorothy distance of the tornado, I would rather be in the basement not seeing it than standing and looking at it from the inside of it. And I'm not, you know, I'm not a storm chaser necessarily. But if I can see it and it's a block away, I'm gonna give it a minute. And if it's coming straight towards me, maybe once it gets to Once I feel like I can feel whipping wind, I'll probably get out of there and just go downstairs, right? Doesn't that feel reasonable?
I'd probably be down there a little bit earlier than that.
But if you want to see it, you want to get a good look. You don't want to just see it off in the distance, you know? It depends on how big it is, I guess. A block might be too close. At a block, it might be throwing, you know, a cow at my head or whatever.
I was just about to say that.
It's a cow, it's always a cow,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
If you're going to draw a tornado with stuff in it, there's always a cow.
And a house.
And an entire house.
Yes.
Yes, 100%. That's exactly right. If you're gonna like draw a cartoon tornado, what is currently whipping through it? I think number one seed is a cow. Number two seed is a full, totally intact house. Number three seed, maybe just a car?
In elementary school or whatever, there's just a kid sitting there and it's like drawing time or whatever. Teacher comes by, oh, what is this? It's a bunch of squiggly lines and a horse. What is this? I don't know. Then they look to the next person. Oh, it's a tornado. I can see that clearly because of the cow.
Right. That's exactly right. Yes. If you draw a horse.
Johnny, you get an F. I don't know what this squiggly line is. Nice horse, by the way, though.
If you draw a horse and it's just sort of standing beside a bunch of swirling lines, you're just doodling at that point. If you put a flying cow and a full house and also the entire cast of Full House inside of a bunch of squiggling lines, you've drawn a tornado. At that point, you're like a meteorologist. You're a tornado scientist.
Is that what Gary Lezak does on TV?
Yes,
he just draws a cow and a bunch of squiggly lines and says, "All right, there we go."
But he never forgets to put the cow there.
That's fair. It's because he's a professional.
Tornado scientist. There's got to be a name for that, right? I haven't looked yet. If there is a specific name for a tornado scientist, I'm going to guess it's like a tornadicist or something. Do you have a guess?
I do not.
Well, there's a book called The Tornado Scientist. But it's not called The Tornado Scientist, parentheses, tornadicist.
That's the sequel.
Is there not? I would hope so. Listen, there might just not be. It might just be a tornado scientist. Kind of disappointing. How did we get to tornadoes?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't know.
I don't know. The Chiefs just tweeted out the...
We were going to talk about free agency, and then all of a sudden it just became tornado talk.
Yeah, that's true. We were going to...
Maybe it's because NBA free agency has been such a tornado.
That can't
be it. A whirlwind of craziness.
You definitely said something about... I think you said the first instance of the word tornado.
That was 10 minutes ago.
The Chiefs just tweeted out the arrival fit pics of... Legarius Sneed and Mecole Hardman, which is noteworthy just because both of those guys just got reactivated today. Sneed had been out there at practice. He just hadn't been called off the IR yet. So good to see both of them out there. I'm trying to figure out, do you see that tweet, Beards? Are you looking at it right now?
Yeah, I see it.
What is Hardman's got two chains on, uh-huh. Not to be confused with a rapper. He has two physical necklaces. It would have been great if he would have shown up to Vegas.
Are you asking what one of them is? Because I know what it is.
With two chains just wrapped around his neck like a cape. Yeah, I mean, there's one that's just like a standard, like, I think the thing might be a Cuban, like, I'm not sure. But yeah, then there's one that's a huge pendant. Is that Goku?
Yeah.
It's a Goku pendant. That's pretty good. Yeah, I think he's wearing a Goku pendant on one of his two chains. Not the wrapper, but the physical item. I think Mecole Hardman spent his money well. I'm not being sarcastic. Like, he has a comically large amount of money from just being, you know,
fast.
From being fast and being a second round draft pick. Yeah. Whenever you have an amount of money that you can afford to buy things like a diamond-encrusted Goku pendant, and it doesn't really change your financial situation in any meaningful way whatsoever.
I had to buy an alternator this week.
Oh.
That hurt.
That's not great. I wondered why you were wearing an alternator on a chain around your neck today. I didn't want to ask. I was... I didn't want to put you on the spot like that. It looks great, though.
A little heavy.
It is very heavy. You've been slouching for
greasy.
Sure. Yeah. A little heavy, a little greasy. But what is this show if not a little heavy and a little greasy? Anyway, Hardman and Sneed are back, and there's no tornadic activity anywhere near us.
No,
that we know of. Okay, I'm going to rattle off some news, then we're going to take a break. Here it is. Ready? Sammy Watkins out tomorrow night. Taco Charlton and Mitchell Schwartz both on IR. Alex Okafor, Legarius Sneed both off of IR. Garrett Dieter, Brian Witzman called up from the Chiefs practice squad for the game tomorrow night. Mecole Hardman activated from the reserve COVID list. And the Chiefs just re-signed Stefan Wisniewski after signing him around the same time last year, and he played on the offensive line all the way to the Super Bowl. Our friend Nate Taylor of The Athletic has reported that Wisniewski is expected to be promoted to the active roster once he gets comfortable again in the Chiefs offense. Note that he sustained the pec injury in the Steelers opener and was released 2 weeks ago. He started the last five games of last season for the Chiefs. Lots of news. Raider week. Beards has not been allowed to talk about the NBA free agency literally at all. I'll make that right whenever we come back.
This is Sports Saturday with Joshua Briscoe.
We get so horny for Tre'Mond Smith.
I do not regret that choice of words. I chose it purposefully.
We do?
As a fan base. Yes! Armani Watts really gets our heart pumping.
Who else is it?
Khalil McKenzie really gets our juices flowing here in Kansas City.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I still regret nothing from that liner. Also, all three of those. I guess Armani Watts is still on the roster. Just haven't heard from him in a minute. Special teams ace Armani Watts. I don't know where this came from. I scrolled past it so aggressively that I lost it. And this can be our pivot into a few minutes of Beards' NBA corner. I think this was actually tweeted by a comedy account now. And I have to imagine this was sarcastic in some way. But it says, when you hear Melo, who do you think first? And it's a picture of Carmelo Anthony and then a picture of the littlest ball.
I did see that, yes.
It's not funny. The fact that, for me, there's Melo and then there's Little Ball. Little Ball, as I call him. Because the fact that you didn't bring that, just we should have just played that liner
again
10 times today. Yeah. We should have just played nothing but that. You didn't know I was going to go to this tweet. But we should have played nothing but he's the middle ball liner. Or... 48 minutes of ball torture, whatever. Was that about either of them?
Yes.
I can't even remember. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it was about Lonzo's debut.
Brilliant.
I think
you're right. But so the NBA draft happened. Beard, by the way, if anyone doesn't know, Beard is a Celtics fan. I'm a Suns fan. I have not talked about Chris Paul on the radio yet.
Oh.
I think, got more hype whenever I saw they were signing Jay Crowder just because I have an irrational love for Jay Crowder. I think it's funny and just fun to watch what I'm convinced is an NFL linebacker play basketball.
Yes.
Like, he's got to be the thickest dude in the NBA. And I'm not, I
he
don't
looks
mean.
He like bigger Derrick Henry.
Yeah!
Because he has the same style.
The big braid,
yeah.
Too. Yeah, you know what? That's it. That's exactly right. Jay Crowder, for me, I enjoy watching him play basketball.
He's a big dude.
Because it's like if you made it, you took Derrick Henry in Madden or any video game, and you just made him taller, but he kept all of his proportions. He just got taller, which is just great. So the Suns trade for Chris Paul. Poor one out for Kelly Oubre. I'm glad that he's going to Golden State. They will appreciate him. He will hopefully appreciate being there. I know there's probably a lot of Thunder fans listening right now. I don't think Oklahoma City deserve Kelly Oubre. His star is too beautiful. He shines too brightly. But so that happens. The Suns, my 8th seed Phoenix Suns, I was just 1 year too early, and they should have been the 8th seed. They got robbed by the NBA in the bubble format for a reason I can't fully remember. I think the Blazers played one less game or something. I don't remember what I was so mad about,
like that.
But I'm still mad about it, obviously. But that happens. That was very exciting for me. They drafted a guy I had never heard of from Maryland, which was not as exciting, but James Jones doesn't give a bleep, so that's fine.
Oh, Jalen Smith?
Yeah. Yeah, you were excited about him 10 picks later or something, right?
It was four.
Was it only 4 picks later?
Yeah.
All right, fine. That's fine. I didn't know anything about him. I'm not heated about it because Devin Booker, Chris Paul together. I you know what I'm going to say? 7 seed Phoenix Suns. I'm shooting higher, going up one every year.
I will say Phoenix has been the king last few years of trading for Trevor Ariza and Ricky Rubio and going, all right, guys. 7 seed. We got it this year. And then they're 13th.
Right.
This is actually like they can clap their hands and go, 7 seed. And it's not completely crazy.
They might be the 7th best team in the West legitimately. I'm excited. And I'm just excited about it. It doesn't, because to your point, it doesn't feel like fake excitement.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to say if everything breaks right, the Suns could be an 8 seed. It's like, no, the Suns should probably be an 8 seed with this roster. I'm excited. I'm going to take it. They were close last year, though.
Sure.
And they had a lot of good things happen. But I'm hyped about it. What did the Celtics do? The Celtics lost Gordon Hayward.
They did.
What happened, Beards?
So what happened was, like, Snoop Dogg at a KU late night, Michael Jordan showed up with his money gun and went, hey, Gordon, and just started firing. Because, listen, it didn't work out in Boston. For a myriad of reasons, main one being 2 minutes into his career there, his foot was facing the wrong direction on his leg.
Yeah, unfortunate.
Gordon Hayward's a good player.
He's not worth that much money. For what I'm wondering is how the Celtics just ended up having him walk. Because
they weren't going to offer him that much money, and apparently, I guess Indiana wasn't going to offer him that much money. And that was going to be the other option was he wanted to go back to Indiana. Because he played college basketball there. I thought
he actually went to Indiana until about an hour ago.
And then
I was talking about it with Beards, and I was confused.
Michael Jordan descended from the rafters
with a little ball, holding a little ball, and saying, "Come play with us."
And that's what happened.
It
stinks, but like, it didn't work out, and that's fine.
And by it, you mean the Celtics organization?
No, not quite.
What are the Pistons doing in 30 seconds? I'm genuinely confused.
They just got rid of Josh Smith's contract off their team, which he hasn't played there for like 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
In honor of that, they have decided to sign all the big men they can and play them all out of position.
Is there a larger Blake Griffin strategy in there somewhere? I saw someone tweet about it.
That's also true. They still have Blake Griffin.
They do?
Yeah. They might trade him. I don't know. Detroit's not good.
The Lakers signed somebody who is good at basketball. I've already forgotten who it was.
Montrezl Harrell. Who was on the Clippers and was the sixth man of the year last year.
Yeah. He's good at basketball.
And they also traded for Dennis Schroeder.
Game changer. Maybe the best player on the Lakers. Top two at least, Dennis Schroeder. All right, that's it. That's the show. Lots of Chiefs news. Talked about all sorts of stuff. It's all going to be up on the AES podcast feed. Listen wherever you get your podcast. I'll talk to you tomorrow right after Chiefs and Raiders. Go drive a bus. Bye, Mom.